All right, we're back. Death. Separation, loneliness, tragedy, mourning, grief. Terrible pain. Unquenchable pain. Many American families, British families now, Iraqi families, Afghani families, too many families, too many people suffering pain, loss of loved ones. All unnecessary. It's crazy. It's geopolitical, religious in nature every time. Ultimately, greed, of course, fueling it. On the BBC message board, Michael Roll wrote a very nice piece, and I got it up at runts.com. Michael Roll has been, I think, single-handedly, with some wonderful colleagues, leading the charge to try to break the grip on hundreds of millions of people that there is no life after death. That grip being, of course, put on the public by organized religion and other agencies who have as their main agenda, their top goal, to hold people accountable right now. Scare the hell out of them, keep them in line, and take their money and their loved ones and use them in wars and everything else. Michael, are you there?
Yes, Jeff, I'm listening to you, indeed. It really affected me personally because my son arrived in Baghdad yesterday, so as you can imagine, I'm a very worried man.
I am sending blessings, as are many, to all of our men and women over there. It's the Iraqi people equally as much. We're not, you know, Michael, my friend, and all of you out there, we are not evolving as a species on the planet. We are devolving. There's no other way to look at it. We are not learning from history. We are not standing on our morals. We are not using what intellect and instincts we have to make the place better. And we, by that I mean not necessarily you and I, but we as a species. We are a failed species on this planet. We are not an adequate caretaker of the earth. We aren't doing the right things across the board as a species. And remember, when a species, and all species are parasitic upon something for their survival, is no longer a successful species, it begins to kill its host organism, which is what we are doing. Here's Michael Roll's message. Let me read it, Michael.
Yes.
All right? You want to read it? Go ahead.
No. You carry on, Jeff. I'll come in later.
There is a very good reason why the religionists and their powerful materialistic allies are fighting like tigers to destroy the secular scientific case for survival after death. I'm going to read that again. There is a very good reason why the religionists and their powerful materialistic allies are fighting like tigers to destroy the secular scientific case for survival after death. This is because whenever we speak to people who once lived on Earth and are now living in the normally invisible part of the universe, the message is always the same via mediums. It never varies. The message is there is no place here just reserved for Christians or anybody else. We all survive the death of our physical bodies. That's the message. This is desperately bad news for the professional priests. They know only too well that they will lose their power over the minds of people if the scientific proof of survival ever reaches mainstream media and educational outlets. All the crazy religious killing will come to an end when people eventually find out they are fighting over nothing whatsoever apart from mythology gone completely mad. Those scientists who have been fanatically following Einstein and the Vatican's ridiculous Big Bang theory will be made to look silly. And this is one thing that intellectuals and academics hate more than anything else: being proved wrong. Hence, this alliance of religionists and materialists against uncomfortable discoveries in physics, the scientific discovery of the so-called spirit world. These experts are fighting for their very existence against a huge tide of truth, scientific teaching across every discipline, including psychology and philosophy, starts from the false base that the mind and the brain are the same, that death is the end of everything. This suits all the priests perfectly, as it makes their supernatural absurdities the only alternatives, and it keeps their lucrative monopoly on the vast life-after-death industry. Keep the masses in ignorance is the name of the establishment game, just the same as it has been for thousands of years. And if you click on Michael Roll's name, you'll go right to his website. We have talked for years with Michael and Ron Pearson, the brilliant scientist. He has, Ron Pearson, extended Newtonian physics to fit in with discoveries of subatomic forces going much faster than Einstein's speed of light. Dr. Lewis Essen gave Ronald Pearson his own tickets to the Sir Isaac Newton conference that was held in Russia some years ago. And Ron Pearson went there and set the conference on fire, basically. We have been fighting this, you and I, but you far longer than I. I'm very glad to play a part in this. Michael, how long have you been fighting this establishment?
I started in 1980, Jeff, and I've been fighting them every day since then. And, of course, it's made me an expert on one thing, how and why things are suppressed. I'm not an expert on physics. I leave that to Ron Pearson.
Well, but censorship is something you understand very well.
Yeah, I sure do. I know exactly where the block is and how it's being blocked and who by. Every time we do a broadcast, this is our 10th broadcast now, the last one caused a meltdown on my website. So many of your listeners tried to have a look at it. So let's warn them this time that the same thing may happen, even though my webmaster has extended the amount of hits we can get. If they can't get through, try and be patient, because the webmaster will have to get it up and running again.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit more optimistic now, because I really feel we've got these wonderful founding fathers of the United States behind us. I mean, these people like Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson were absolute giants when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and then your wonderful written Constitution. This is what stopped it all going pear-shaped, the American Revolution, like the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. Some really rotten people took over. But you were guided by these fabulous founding fathers, and that's what kept the whole thing on track.
Yeah.
And so I'm very optimistic. I really am. I feel these founding fathers, as you and I know, are very much alive, and they're working with us all now, trying to break down this terrible hatred that's tearing the world apart. There's no need for it at all. They're all fighting over nothing whatsoever, apart from mythology gone mad. And now we've discovered people in the invisible part of the universe, we can understand what caused all this in the first place. These people that I met at these experiments, where they fully materialize, the same thing was happening in the past, and our ancestors jumped to the wrong conclusions. They thought they were angels, devils, gods, or Big Daddy God himself. We now know they're people exactly the same as we are. Mm-hmm. You have to be terribly skeptical of what is being said through mediums. You have to use your mind all the time. Now, is this genuine or isn't it genuine? Mm-hmm. If somebody says they're the Queen of Sheba, be skeptical. If somebody says they're God, be doubly skeptical.
Indeed.
Because for every con artist on earth, Jeff, there are hundreds of them in the etheric world. And you just have to be skeptical.
I know when Brad Steiger is on and people do talk about contact with those on the other side, as it were, although they're much closer than that, he always cautions them.
Yeah.
Be very careful, because you never really know who you're dealing with over there.
That's right. And the mediums, the vast majority, are doing a wonderful job. They're putting loved ones in touch and getting personal proof that they're still alive. But once you step outside that sublime work, be very careful of tuning in, rather like working with a Ouija board. Initially, you start off perhaps getting contact to your loved ones, but they're easily pushed aside by the rotten forces in the etheric world. You have to be terribly, terribly careful.
Right. We warn and warn again about the dangers of the Ouija board.
That's right.
Not something to be trifled with.
And unfortunately, they can also come through mediums. Even mediums of good character, they can sometimes use the con trick through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just be doubly careful. Don't soak up everything that comes through mediums like a sponge. Mediums are only interpreters between people on Earth and people in the invisible part of the universe.
Now, Ron Pearson's work It's so extraordinary because he's come up with a mathematical model to account for all of this. And we look at the vast alleged emptiness of space, and then we come up with concepts like zero-point energy, which suggests that that's not empty at all. It may be densely packed with matter just at the subatomic level, which we don't see, otherwise known as the invisible portion of the universe. So we don't have a handle on it, folks, but people like Michael Roll and his colleagues, Peter Wadhams and others, a brilliant scientist from Cambridge, have worked very hard on this for years. We'll be right back in just a minute. Michael Roll, live in England, where it's very early in the morning. All right, Michael, since we last talked, Peter Wadhams and others, tell us what progress we've made. When I say we, I'm talking you and your colleagues, but I like to play a small role in this, and I'm very honored to have you on the program. So how are we doing?
You've more than played a small role, Jeff. It's thanks to you that so many people across the world are now finding out what has been censored, because as you know, Jeff, we only have to present the secular scientific case for survival.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to sell it, because what we're saying is a million times better than our rivals are pushing. The religionists are saying we survived death, but first of all, we've got to rest in peace in the ground waiting for Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah.
And then we all know what the materialists are saying. This is orthodox science across every discipline. When you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah.
So you can understand why they're blocking us. Because when people bother to read our case, the secular case for survival, they don't go back to resting in peace in the ground waiting for Judgment Day.
No.
They don't carry on following orthodox science. They come with us, so that's why we're being blocked. But now, as you say, the BBC notice board has given me an outlet. And for the first time ever, I and my colleagues are coming up against these people who are putting out their normal propaganda that it's all a load of rubbish, all this, it's all that. And we are now allowed to answer their criticism on the BBC notice board. We've never been allowed to do this on the television or mainstream radio stations in England, because, as you know, the church and the state are still established here.
You're still blocked over there.
We're still blocked, yeah. But this is a hell of a breakthrough, getting through on this BBC notice board, because there's quite a few programs now coming out in England
mm-hmm.
supporting mediumship, but mm-hmm. one thing they're not doing is giving the scientific backup
mm-hmm.
that the Jeff Rentz website is giving. That is blocked in England, the scientific backup.
And what Michael Roll is talking about, the scientific backup, is astonishing in its import, in its depth, in its absolute certainty of scientific rigorous protocols having been followed. Then many of you may or may not know, if you've heard our conversations in the past, you will know, but we've talked, and we will talk tonight, about Sir Oliver Lodge, his model of the universe, of course, and more importantly, I think, Sir William Crookes. And if we can, Michael, let's spend a few minutes and tell our listeners, who may not have heard us before about this or heard your work, who and how important Sir William Crookes was in the 19th and the early 20th century. This man was probably the preeminent scientist in the Western world. If
absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so they don't come any bigger than Crookes. Even after he proved survival by repeatable experiments under laboratory conditions, he went on to get it greater and greater, because he ended up as president of the Royal Society, which is the most prestigious scientific body in the world.
Now think about this, folks. Sir William Crookes attained the highest pinnacle of science, president of the Royal Society. This is amazing.
And he was also given the Order of Merit, which is the highest decoration you can get in this country. And he died in 1919, still absolutely adamant that what he witnessed was true. He had discovered people in the invisible part of the universe.
Right.
And what the people don't know is they've been suppressed. They've attacked William Crookes so viciously that we've never been allowed to defend him on mainstream media outlets, that people think he was a liar, a cheat, a crank, a fraud, and they've also tagged on that he was a sex maniac. This is how terrified the religionists and materialists are of this great scientist. Who was? There would be no television if it wasn't for Crookes. He invented the cathode ray tube. Yeah. And as you know, Sir Oliver Lodge, the other scientist who's under a terrific attack, invented radio. He sent a signal 1 year before Marconi even came on the scene. So these they understood about just because you can't normally see and sense something, Jeff, it doesn't mean to say that it doesn't exist.
Of course.
They started from that base, you see. And they've been absolutely vilified because there's such a danger to the religion.
There's really no one around to oppose those attacks except people like you, Michael, a few. And it's so easy to desecrate the so-called dead when they're no longer here on the physical plane with us.
Yeah.
Well,
but they had to wait for Crookes to die in 1919 before they came down on
him
like a ton of bricks.
They wouldn't dare try it while he was alive.
Oh, no, he would have sued the pants off him, yeah. But anyway, now we're breaking through because of the internet and your outlets and others in Australia are helping us. So they won't be able to get away with it. If you bottle up something long enough, it's going to cause a revolution.
Right.
The discoveries in physics belong to every person on Earth. But bottling it up is playing right into our hands, because there's going to be a hell of an explosion of public anger when they eventually find out how badly they're being deceived.
Yeah, if they do. If they
ever do. The Big Bang nonsense. I mean, this was invented by a Roman Catholic called George Lemaitre in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basis for all scientific calculations. This Roman Catholic chap said, well, let's reverse the expanding universe, which is fair enough, reverse it by all means, but they've taken it back to the size of a pinhead. Now, all these billions and billions of galaxies come back to the size of a pinhead, pull the other one, it's got bells on. But that's the calculations that all mathematics starts from. But if you reverse the universe and stick it back into the invisible part of the universe, the source of all energy, the so-called spirit world, then everything starts to make sense.
Of course it does. That's where that expression pinhead came from.
Yeah,
calling someone
so.
Pinhead. All right, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Michael Roll, live from England, as we discuss continuing life. Next. Be spending time with Michael Roll, R-O-L-L, and do visit his website. Absolutely don't miss it. It's a wonderful one. If you can't get in right now, come back tomorrow. The Campaign for Philosophical Freedom. William Crookes, or William Crookes. There's an article about Crookes, and there were a couple who tried to take some shots at him while he was still around. And this one reply is marvelous that you've quoted in here.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to marginalize him and called him a specialist of specialists. That's like calling someone a pinhead with tunnel vision. Crookes responded. Shall I read some of this?
Yes, it's wonderful stuff.
It is. What year was this written? Do we know?
Well, he died in 1919, so I suppose it's around about 1910, I should think, perhaps before.
All right, he said in response to this, now, you got to remember that for almost half a century, Crookes dominated the sciences. He was the guy. He was Einstein and beyond in that that age of discovery.
He sure was.
He said, my greatest crime, he wrote in his reply to the assault on him, seems to be that I am a specialist of specialists. It is indeed news to me that I have confined my attention only to one special subject. Will my reviewer kindly say what that subject is? Is it general chemistry, whose chronicler I have been since the commencement of the Chemical News in 1859? Is it thallium, about which the public have probably heard as much as they care for? Or is it chemical analysis, in which my recently published select methods are the result of 12 years' work? Is it disinfection and the prevention and cure of cattle plague, my published report on which may be said to have popularized carbolic acid? Or is it photography, on the theory and practice of which my papers have been very numerous? Is it metallurgy of gold and silver, in which my discovery of the value of sodium in the amalgamation process is now largely used in Australia, California, and South America in gold? Or is it physical optics, in which department I have space only to refer to papers of some phenomena of polarized light, published before I was 21. To my detailed description of the spectroscope and labors with this instrument when it was almost unknown in England. To my papers on the solar and terrestrial spectra. To my examination of the optical phenomena of opals and construction of the spectrum microscope. To my papers on the luminous intensity of light and my description of my polarization photometer. Or is it my specialty in astronomy and meteorology, inasmuch as I was for 12 months at the Radcliffe Observatory, Oxford, where in addition to my principal employment of arranging the meteorological department, I divided my leisure between Homer and mathematics at Magellan Hall, planet hunting, and transit tracking with Mr. Pogson, now principal of the Madras Observatory, and celestial photography with the magnificent heliometer attached to the observatory. Was any of those? My photographs of the moon, taken in 1855 at Mr. Hartnup's Observatory, Liverpool, were for years the best extant, and I was honored by a money grant from the Royal Society to carry out further work in connection with them. These facts, together with my trip to Oran last year as one of the government eclipse expedition, and the invitation recently received to visit Ceylon for the same purpose, would almost seem to show that astronomy was my specialty. In truth, few scientific people are less open to the charge of being a specialist of specialists.
Yeah, well, his great crime, of course, was to actually work with a materialization medium, carry out repeatable experiments under laboratory conditions, and then when he felt safe, he published the truth. And that's why he's under attack, because he dared to tell the truth.
Explain, Michael, for our listeners, what a materialization medium is, please.
Yes, now, I'm not having a crack at mental mediumship. They give very good evidence of survival. But I'm only concentrating on how we can prove survival. And if you're going to prove survival, you've got to work with a materialization medium like Sir William Crookes came across, a medium called Florence Cook. And in the presence of these mediums, they take no part in the proceedings whatsoever. That's what I like. Everything that happens is completely separate from the medium. They don't even use the medium's voice box. The medium goes into the corner of the room, goes into a trance, and people from the etheric world can actually fully materialize, walk around the room, and speak to us in the same voices they had on Earth. Same as the story of Jesus. We now know that one of those disciples, for that to happen, must have been a materialization medium. So we're backing up, to a certain extent, what the religionists are saying. But they made the mistake, of course, of thinking that the people, the person who materialized, was God. But this is what we're doing now. Ever since Sir William Crookes published his findings in 1874, we now recognize they're just people who are coming back to Earth proving survival. And he was the first man to prove survival, because he had the courage to work with a materialization medium. Now, but as you know, Jeff, other international teams of scientists then carried out the same experiments, and these have all been hushed up. But they're on your website and my website, right. So people can now check it out with the search engines and everything.
Top scientists in Canada, France, Eastern Europe, many did it.
Yes, Charles Richer, the French Nobel laureate, he worked with a materialization medium after Crookes and repeated the experiments. Professor Schreck Notzen in Germany did the same. Mm-hmm. Glenn Hamilton in Canada, he set up a battery of 15 cameras filming people materializing. So as you can imagine, the establishment are in a bit of a state because of the internet, you see. People can check this out for themselves.
Right. They who would desecrate these people have spent, in Crookes' case, close to a century now, and everyone who has followed him, trying to disparage and demean the man who was a capital G giant of that age and any age, in fact.
Absolutely.
His mind was timeless. Now,
so these people are fighting for their very existence, aren't they, Jeff?
Yes, they are.
As credible intellectuals and academics. No wonder they're in a hell of a state.
Yeah. The materialization medium uses his or her etheric energy to allow, to permit those wanting to come through to materialize. And Michael Roll has seen this firsthand himself. We'll talk more about that. We'll touch on Oliver Lodge's contribution next as we continue with our 10th visit with Michael Roll on Continuing Life After Death in a minute. Another great scientist, as I mentioned, by name Oliver Lodge, Sir Oliver Lodge, first person to send a radio message a year before Marconi did it. A lot of folks who were really experimenting with early radio and sending transmissions, but Oliver Lodge was another giant. He wrote an article published in 1933 in Birmingham, the Queen's Hospital Annual was the publication. Called The Mode of Future Existence. Was a lecture, actually, by Sir Oliver Lodge. Tell us about this article and why it ignited another typical smear, slander, and libel campaign against another brilliant man.
Yes, well, it's very simple. It's on my website, The Mode of Future Existence, and of course it's been hushed up by the establishment because it's terrified them. He said we're dealing with subatomic physics and the phenomena that it throws up. We're made of invisible stuff, so it's no longer fantastic to have something invisible break away from the human body.
Of course.
And, of course, this really upset the establishment. I only came across this myself not all that long ago, and this is what I'm running with. So we put the Sir William Crookes's work forward, then we back it up with Sir Oliver Lodge, and then we come along with Ronald Pearson, who's gone even further. As you know, his trip to Russia was an incredible success.
It certainly was.
And he's just extended Newtonian physics to fit in with these new revolutionary discoveries in subatomic physics.
Science doesn't like pragmatism sometimes. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's a little bit from Sir Oliver Lodge's paper. He says, "The physical universe does not consist of matter alone. If it did, it would be absolutely inert. No change would ever occur. Experience shows us constant change, constant activity, and when analyzed, the source of this activity is always found in the field or space between the atoms." Space between the atoms. The field or the space between the atoms. That is where the energy exists. Talking about subatomic areas, subatomic energy. That is where it is stored. And we can gradually realize that it is through interaction between the void and the material particles that every change or activity is accomplished. A field of force always exists in what we call vacuum, or the ether, what the ancients called void. Never does it exist in matter. Yet force is only made manifest by matter. Force is only made manifest by matter. It is only by observing the behavior of material bodies that we can become aware of the existence of a field of force or of a seat of energy. Energy is constant in amount, but it takes various forms. The form with which we are best acquainted is the form of motion, and that is the only form ever associated with matter. All other forms are hidden and make no impression upon us, save when they encounter material particles and thus display their existence. No one, for instance, could experience a magnetic field without a bit of iron to test it. No one has any knowledge of the broadest broadcast waves which now surround us unless he has a suitable detecting apparatus in the form of a wireless set and telephone. And he goes on from there. But the point is quite clear. This paper was heretical to organized science, which is absolutely bound by leg irons to the concept that matter is all.
And it's only Michael Rowe and Jeff Rentz and Barry Eaton in Australia who are pushing this. It's still being hushed up today because it's so dangerous. In other words, everything is coming from the invisible part of the universe. That's the source of all energy. And that is heresy in today's world, which is everything is material. So you see what we're up against. You can understand why we've been suppressed and they're still fighting us. But we have a very powerful ally in public opinion. It's mobilizing now, and they're going to turn on these people who are suppressing this. They won't be able to get away with it for much longer.
They won't. The other big ally we have, of course, is logic and common sense.
And right. We have right on our side because we're only fighting for a balance to present our case.
That's right. That's all.
And that's what Thomas Paine and Jefferson had in the fight for their independence. They had right on their side, and they won because of that.
I hope you'll go to Michael Rowe's site and the Campaign for Philosophical Freedom. Just click on his name, and if you're not online now or can't get to a computer, it's www.cfpf.org.uk. That's cfpf.org.uk. And you can read the entire paper that I just quoted from briefly, Oliver Lodge's paper. Click on his name, click on Sir William Crookes' name, and you read about him, and you can explore that further. It's a wonderful website, all kinds of things there. Okay, so have you received any behind-the-scenes support from some of the so-called mainstream scientists who say, you know, Michael, don't quit because you're really on to something here. We know you're right, or we know Crookes was right. We understand what Lodge was saying. Do they tell you that?
I've had some wonderful morale boosts. The best thing, of course, was when the finest scientist that the Islamic world has ever produced backed me to the hilt. Professor Abdussalam, the 1979 Nobel Laureate for Physics.
Ah.
He gave me a grant from the International Center for Theoretical Physics and gave me 5 donations from his own pocket.
Amazing.
And he's been excommunicated by these Mullah fellows, the finest scientists the Islamic world has ever produced. Now, I've lectured to Muslims in the sixth form, my local sixth form here.
Uh-huh.
And I held up this proof that I have the backing of the greatest scientist the Islamic world has ever produced. And I said to them, who would you rather follow, this great scientist of yours who's been excommunicated by these mullahs or the mullahs? And they all en masse say, oh, we'd much rather follow the scientist. But there's no way they can challenge their mullahs. Mm-hmm. Because that would carry the death penalty.
That's right.
There would be no trial or anything. They'd just be murdered. Probably tortured first to find out if there's anybody else with the same heretical views. There were, we were, 500 years ago, during the Holy Inquisition. You couldn't challenge the Christian priest. You'd be killed. Again, tortured to find out if there's anybody else with the same heretical views. And you can't just go steaming into the Middle East and impose a democracy. It's taken us 500 years of fighting to get away from the priests to get one person, one vote in our countries. So this is why the diplomats warned Bush and Blair, their own diplomats, warned them not to do this. It's a terrible mistake. But they overrode this warning. They really think they've got God on their side. But the only trouble is, so does Bin Laden. He thinks he's got God on his side.
Well, all leaders of all radicalized groups feel divine intervention upon their behalf, and it's beyond belief. Of course, as you know, our president is a card-carrying member of a satanic organization called Skull and Bones. And
I know. Yeah.
This issue of claiming religion, organized religion, clubs as they are known, are often, tragically, organs of extortion, suppression, intellectual rape, not to mention the physical rape. I mean, there was a Catholic priest today who was ordained. Never mind, he had a sexual issue with young people in his past.
Yeah.
So these institutes have been bastions and havens for almost unimaginable debauchery and immorality for countless centuries. And yet they continue to hold sway over billions of people. It's truly amazing, isn't it?
Well, all we have to do is point to the books that have been suppressed. Thomas Paine, one of the great founders of the USA, wrote The Age of Reason.
Yeah,
and it's absolutely magnificent. It's still in print, so anybody can read that and get the antidote to this terrible religious hatred.
The Age of Reason. We now live almost, Michael, in an age of irrationality.
Yes, but people are now finding out about Thomas Paine, and they're going to read The Age of Reason, and he's done the job for us.
We need a renaissance.
We do. You know, and it's happening. People are telling me who don't know anything about my work, they're coming up to me and saying, Mike, it's a terrible mistake to remove a dictator like Saddam Hussein because he was keeping the lid on all this terrible religious killing. Once you take the lid off, they all start killing each other. We're in the middle of a civil war. I mean, Catholics and Protestants adore each other compared to Shia and Sunni Muslims.
Right.
So you need a dictator to keep the lid on. And the same thing, a perfect example, is General Tito in the Balkans. There wasn't any religious killing when he was in charge. He wouldn't have it. He'd just rub them out. But you remove Tito, and here they go. They start killing each other. Roman Catholics, Croats, and Serbs are Orthodox Christians. And in the middle of that, we have the Muslims left over from the Turkish Empire. And they all start knocking 7 bells out of each other. It's crazy.
It is totally crazy.
Fighting over nothing whatsoever. Nothing at all. There's no such thing as Catholics or Protestants or any of these. The whole thing is a gigantic hoax, as Thomas Paine pointed out. And, of course, he was wanted dead or alive in England for doing that.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I guess not really amazing. What is amazing is, as you might suggest, and we're going to talk about more in the next hour, materialization mediums are perhaps the rarest of all. And they are, of course, always having to be very careful about public profile. We lost a great one who was actually killed by the police, who broke in on one of her sessions in the 1950s, Helen Duncan. That's a terrible black mark.
Well, we've learned by that mistake, so as soon as we get another one who's prepared to dedicate their wonderful gift to scientific advancement, we'll be terribly careful to protect them and just do exactly as the scientists in the etheric world tell us. Helen Duncan was warned not to go ahead with this particular meeting, but she overrode the warning because she was taking money from the people who had come to witness her demonstration.
Yeah.
And that's the big mistake. You don't take money for something like this. This is a serious scientific exercise.
Yeah.
You dedicate your gift to science, and you do it all in the laboratory.
Indeed. Stand by, Michael. We'll pause and come back and talk more about mediums and what Michael Rohl's experiences were, along with many others, as we continue.